want to share with you guys for just a little bit this morning about some good news and some great joy. What we do here at Bayside is hopefully you got a candle when you came in. After this, we always kind of end our time with candlelight. And the ushers will come by at the end of this message and they'll light your candles and we'll spend some time kind of just reflecting on that. I also want you to know, in case you don't know, afterwards, please stay for some refreshments. And Santa Claus is going to be out there and you can get some pictures with him and it's all free. We'll give you the photographs and print them right then and there. So it's been fun. I believe as Andy Williams first told us in 1963, it is the most wonderful time of the year, is it not? Even if it rains, it's still the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas brings us and should bring us joy. But there's something about it that brings us great joy, beyond just joy. There is a lot of joy this time of year. If you're a child, you are overwhelmed with joy this time of year. The night before Christmas is basically a joy-packed evening of anticipation for every child and adult that still becomes a child at Christmas. It could be things like the nostalgia of Christmas. Maybe you remember those times as a kid and it brings warmth to your heart. Seeing family and friends. The food is usually pretty good at Christmas. Kids, generosity, the hopes and prayers, fingers crossed that somehow, some way, the temperature will drop far enough and participation will rise and we'll have some snow. The celebration of Jesus' birth, Christmas lights, the nativity, eggnog, come on, anybody? Hallelujah. No school for a few weeks, which if you're a parent, you're like, let's get the clock running on that one. But here's what I also know. I know that Christmas is not easy for everyone. I know that for many, Christmas is hard. Maybe this is your first Christmas without a loved one. Could be a reminder of a strained relationship. Financial challenges may have made this Christmas hard. Maybe you're struggling with your faith. It's not that Christmas is bad. It's just that it sometimes magnifies those things, doesn't it? And yet, we celebrate good news that brings great joy. So how is it? Let me just ask you this question. How is it that year after year, amid the challenges that we have faced and the challenges we know we will face, with everything that's happening around us, how can we still celebrate that good news that brings us great joy? Let me read to you the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. It tells us this. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. I think it's very easy sometimes for us to get caught up in the bad news, right? We are bombarded by it. If you watch the news, you know that it's not till the very end that they even tell you anything that's good. But just a few things that were good news from 2023. Did you know that 134.28 billion babies were born in 2023? And if you're wondering how many per day that is, let me tell you, that's 368 babies per day that have been born so far in 2023. Did I say 368? 368,000, sorry. There you go. There's other good news. The University of Washington's in the college football playoffs. Glory to God on the highest and peace on earth. Here's an interesting one. For the first time in 50 years, NASA has announced that they're going to be planning to send astronauts to the moon. Yeah. And almost 900,000 puppies were adopted in 2023. There's your good news. Listen, if the news ticker, if social media existed when Joseph and Mary were around, it would have read something like this: Roman government sets requirement for additional taxes. Now, not one time has the requirement of taxes ever felt like good news, has it? And yet 2,000 years ago, an angel of the Lord said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." The good news of great joy, it was about something that wouldn't even hit the back pages of a local newspaper. Another baby in a nothing town born to two unknown people. However, the angel knew what we now know, that the seeming irrelevance of the birth of a new child was the revelation of something earth crashing and heaven shattering. Christmas is something that roughly 2 billion people celebrate around the world. And we're going to hang our stockings. You're going to put out cookies for Santa. You'll read the birth of Jesus to your kids. We'll wrap presents. We'll hug loved ones. We'll enjoy meals. We'll watch football. That's all good. And I'm all for those things. Do them all and more. But truly, Christmas will never be for us good news of great joy unless it's good news every day of the year. The good news of great joy is a lifestyle that occurs when we understand Emmanuel, God with us. The prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, he said, "The virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Months before Jesus was born, an angel said these same things to Joseph in a dream. "Emmanuel, God with us, fully God and fully man. He never stopped being God and he never became God." How do we wrap our heads around that? That's a very difficult concept to understand. Everything must start somewhere. Well, God didn't. Yeah, but how can you be a baby who doesn't even know how to walk or talk or use his hands properly or independently go to the bathroom and still be fully God? Well, it's all part of the mystery of the incarnation, isn't it? But it's because of that, fully God, fully man, that he's able to redeem us. He's the good news of great joy because of his perfection. And if that's hard for you to grasp today, you're not alone. It was, in fact, a major issue with church leaders thousands of years ago. In fact, it was one of the earliest things that they argued about. Maybe you've heard me tell this story before, but it's Christmas. I have to tell it. It actually got so bad that a bunch of church leaders, they got together, and they basically were deciding what should and should not be considered doctrine. So pretty important meeting. And they started talking about what they believed regarding Jesus. And before we had podcasts, we had the Council of Nicaea. That's what this was. One guy in particular, his name was Arius, he believed that Jesus wasn't really God. So he's arguing this. And he's trying to make his case. Another bishop, though, is so upset. I mean, he is ticked. He's so upset that he gets up, he goes up to Arius, and he punches him right in the face. You want to know what the name of that bishop is? Saint Nicholas. True story, we think. You can't make this up. He decked a guy who was arguing about whether or not Jesus was really God. So, you're naughty and nice list? A little more important than you realized, isn't it? Jesus is with you. He is for you. He was born for you, whether you feel like you deserve it or not today. None of us deserve his love. None of us deserve his grace, his mercy and redemption, but he offers it freely to all who will give him lordship over their lives. Yeah, I can't help but wonder today, though, as we approach the end of another year and prepare for what lies ahead, if we, like the shepherds, need to just be reminded not to be afraid. Fear not is mentioned 365 times in the Bible. That's one time for every day. And I think that there's a reason behind that. All of us have something that impacted us by fear. What lies ahead, maybe something caused by childhood, maybe transition to a new lifestyle or a change in that remainder of the school year. Maybe there's just this next year is going to bring some hard stuff. And I don't know. You know, we're born with two fears, fear of falling and loud noises. Every other fear is learned, though, which means every other fear can be unlearned. And faith is the process of unlearning fear. The more we understand that God is Emmanuel, that he is with us, that he is the good news of great joy, the more we realize we don't have to fear anything. The heart of Scripture and the heart of Christmas is God is with us and God is for us. As the worship team comes back onto the stage and we get ready to light some candles, I just invite you to stand with us. You know, a little over 200 years ago, on December 24th, 1818, at St. Nicholas Parish, parish named after the same guy who I mentioned was in that brawl, a young Catholic priest named Joseph Moore presented a poem to a local composer named Franz Gruber in hopes that they would have it performed that night at their Christmas Eve Mass. And out of that came one of the most well-known Christmas carols that you can imagine, Silent Night, the song we're going to sing in just a moment. It's unknown what inspired Joseph to write the lyrics, but one thing we do know is that for 200 years, it has helped humanity see the peaceful beauty of Christ's birth. In all reality, here's the deal, Christ's birth was not a peaceful scene. For those of us that have children, you know it's not a peaceful scene. Now add in some farm animals and a cave, and you're just not in that kind of situation. There was the chaos of bringing a new human into the world. But even in that chaos, even with the sounds and foreign surroundings, I believe a peace that surpasses all understanding was found. Because there in that moment, the Savior of the world had arrived. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel. You know, this Christmas, no matter what your life is like, Christ's peace can be found. A peace that overcomes fear. A peace that assures us of Jesus' good news of great joy. His good news, his salvation is for, just as Scripture tells us, all people. None of us are too far from what Jesus has. So as the ushers come forward and we prepare to light the candles, I'm going to pray in just a second. Give you a quick rundown on what this is going to look like, though. They're going to just go row by row and light your candle, and then you can just turn to the person next to you, light theirs. You don't have to turn around and light anyone else's. But would you just bow your heads with me? Lord, this Christmas, I thank you for your peace. I thank you that you are with us. I thank you that as we wrap up another year, we look forward to 2024. We have this opportunity, though, to just stop and pause and remember your birth, to celebrate the arrival of our Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus, I pray that the different things that we are facing in life, the challenges, the questions, all of that, would we just once again lay them before your feet? Would we once again give you lordship? Would we give thanks today, knowing that on this day a Savior was born, that good news of great joy was brought for all of us? So we love you, God. We ask these things in your name. Amen.